we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. And as Paul just told me, today is the last day of February. 16% of the year gone already. I'm not trying to make you feel like time is flying, but if you're waiting for a good reason to get up and get outside and get active and get about the Father's business, let's not procrastinate. Let's be about the Father's business, okay? Want to take this opportunity to remind you of our kids convention that is coming up March 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th, 6:30 p.m. It's going to be a phenomenal event. It's going to be a life-changing event for kids. Listen, we used to have these people every year, and we had entire kids that went through their entire school year or their entire schooling career, and this ministry, and they just absolutely love this ministry. And so we encourage you to come, and it's high tech, it's high energy, it's gospel centered. It is going every night. They're going to have the opportunity to have a life altering experience with Jesus Christ. It is going to be a great event. So put that on your calendar. It's only a couple of weeks away, March 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th. Also want to remind you about our Sunday night service. This week is our annual business meeting. And so if you were planning on coming out, that you would know what to expect when you got there. So those are the things that are coming up. Today I want to take you into the Word of God. I want to take you to the book of Romans today. We're working our way through some of these declarations that Pastor Craig Groeschel has spoken over his life. And the first one that I want to talk to you about today is out of Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so his declaration is, I am unashamed. I am unashamed. The devil loves to condemn. Christians are not in the condemning business. We are in the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ business. The Holy Spirit does not condemn. He convicts of sin, not with the purpose of sentencing to punishment, but he convicts to bring to the point of repentance. There's a big difference there. You see, condemnation will actually try and drive a wedge between you and God and drive you further away from God, where conviction of the Holy Spirit will actually draw you to God, where you will see that he has paid the price for that, and he wants to lead you in a different walk after that. You know, just as we talked about yesterday with healing, look, I pray for a person to be healed, whether that's myself or somebody else, I don't want them to, you know, be raised back up to deal with the same sort of junk all over again. I want it to be a completely delivered lifestyle. And so that's very, very important. And you and I, we need to realize that Jesus does not forgive us so that we can turn right around and walk into the same trap of sin that we just got delivered from. So realize that you don't have to be ashamed of being a child of God. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But there is also a different walk, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So when you and I are forgiven of our sins, there needs to be a change in navigation. There needs to be a change in empowerment. There needs to be a change in the authorities over our lives so that we walk differently than we did before. There was this time where I was literally walking. I was carrying groceries in late at night from the grocery store. We have an arrangement at our house where I carry the groceries in and my wife puts them away, and then I try and figure out where the snacks are later. As I walked in, it was late at night and it had been a long day, and I walked in and I saw my shadow, and my shadow cast a reflection on the ground, or a shadow on the ground, that showed me my posture as I was walking. And it was a posture that I didn't care for. Rather than getting ashamed of it, I decided that I was going to change it. And so I threw my shoulders back. I started walking with greater confidence. And it said, you know what? That's not going to be me. And so today I want to thank you. I want to thank God that I do not have to be ashamed of where I've come from, but I don't have to let my past dictate my future. I want to celebrate this new walk in Jesus Christ that I have. I want to ask you to look a little further down the road than what you may be accustomed to doing. If nothing changes, if there is not any change in your behavior whatsoever, not a change in your lifestyle, what does the road look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, or 30 years from now? What does it look like? What does it look like? Because I will tell you, I have seen what the end of certain roads look like. I've seen the catastrophes at the end, and I made a decision a long time ago that those were not paths that I was going to walk on. And so I'm not condemned by those things. And I'm not there to condemn anybody else. You know what I am there to do? If there's somebody that's walking down that road, I want to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to flow through me so that person will be set free. That's what I want, because I can say, I know what lies in the road ahead of you, and we've got to stop. A few years ago, there was a massive accident. I believe it's Interstate 40 coming from Arkansas into Oklahoma, and a barge hit a bridge support on underneath the I-40 bridge there. And it knocked the road out. And people, the speed limit on that road, I believe, is 70 or 75 miles an hour. If it's 70 on that one, there's a road just not far from it that it turns up to 75. So I'm not real sure. But if you can imagine, there are people who are counting that road is going to continue, only to find out that the bridge is out and there's no sign. And cars were plummeting over the edge, one after another. And finally, a person managed to get their vehicle to come to a screeching halt. And then he got out and he started waving and saying, "You got to stop. The bridge is out. Stop. Stop." And fortunately, vehicles started coming to a standstill and more loss of life was averted. That's what the ministry that God has given to us is. We're there to wave the hands and say, look, this road doesn't go where you think it goes. And we need to get you on a different path. And I don't know how long it took them to get that road reopened, but I do know that there were some people that they had a detour as a result of that. So there is no condemnation, but it also requires that we walk differently. Now, I want to take you back to Romans chapter 1, because when I'm not ashamed, I want you to know that I'm not ashamed of where God's brought me from, but I'm also not ashamed of something else. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the righteousness, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So when I talk about that, I'm not ashamed of the fact that I've been forgiven, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what the word gospel means, good news. If you got good news today, how many people would you share it with? If something good happened to you during the course of business today, how many people would you share it with? Why would we limit ourselves to say, well, I can't really force this testimony of this tremendous life-transforming blessing of eternal life that God has given. Why wouldn't I share that with people that they too could come and understand? Look, it's not us forcing religion down the throats of people. It is simply an invitation that says, look, you're headed down a road that you don't know what the end of it looks like. But there's another path over here, and Jesus wants you to know that he wants to save you, he wants to deliver you, and all you've got to do is put your faith and trust in him. And that gospel is not a one-stop shop, okay? I want to carry this on just a little bit further, because it says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, switching this faith in this to faith in this over here. What it is talking about there is the more that we walk in right standing with God and the righteousness that God has provided for us, the more we are going to have our faith strengthened, and our faith is going to go from this level to another level. Now listen, if you've got faith as small as a mustard seed, Jesus said, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will obey you. Faith is very effective. But I will tell you that in my life experience, my faith now is much stronger than my faith was when I first became a Christian. It just is. I've seen God do too many miracles of salvation and miracles of healing and miracles of provision. I've seen the supernatural too much to doubt whether or not he is capable of doing that. Faith says, I can trust God with this. It's an action word. And so every time God does something, it should cause us to be able to believe God for greater things than what we have already experienced. So it says, the just shall live by faith. The good news of Jesus Christ is you begin your life in Jesus Christ living by faith. You conclude your journey in Christ by living by faith. And every step along the way is living by faith. And the devil will try every trick, every tool that he's got in his arsenal of deception to get you to put your faith in something else, only to find that it has no lasting value. There, you can put your faith in your automobile, and your automobile will eventually demonstrate that it is not trustworthy. And what do you do when it demonstrates that you cannot have faith in it? Then you've got to look for another automobile. Your physical body. You know, I used to be able to do things that I don't necessarily do now. And I used to be able to do them longer. I used to be able to do them faster. But my body says, hey, guess what? I'm not where you're supposed to put your faith. People put it in their mental faculties, their job, their profession, whatever they do. Listen, whatever you are banking on your reputation coming from, it is insufficient. It is just an idol. It is a substitute that the devil wants you to put your faith in. The only thing that we can put our faith in is not a thing, it's a person, and that is Jesus Christ. And he wants us to live by faith in him at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end of our journey. I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of pressure. I mean, right now in America, there is so much pressure that is put on Christians to compromise what they believe in. Christian universities who are building rooms to accommodate people of other faiths where Jesus Christ is not exalted. And they're doing that with the mindset of, well, maybe they will just see how much more that we love. That's not going to be, that's not going to accommodate them. I mean, it's going to make it them easier to spend eternity apart from Jesus. That's not what we want. And so remember, in a land of darkness, light is offensive, but it's also refreshing. In a land of lies, truth is offensive, but it's also refreshing. And so I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so if you give me an opportunity, I will share with you the good news of the Word of God and the God of His Word, because it can bring about life transformation. Psalm 37. Let's turn back there and let's look at this next declaration. Psalm 37. Verse number 1. We'll just go ahead and start reading there. Psalm 37 and verse number 1. It says this: "Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." This declaration says, "I am called and equipped to go after the righteous desires God puts in my heart." There are a lot of people that say He will give you the desires of your heart, and that they interpret that to mean that whatever it is that they want, that is what God is going to give them. I used to tell my kids this, and they didn't understand it, but now they do. You don't always want what you want. There can be things that you have a desire for, only to find out that it's a good thing you didn't get it. My wife and I were telling someone this here not too long ago, that when we began looking for a house to live in a long, long time ago, we kept looking for these homes. They were smaller homes, but a number of the homes that we saw and we liked, they had a swimming pool. And we thought, wow, that would be awesome to have a swimming pool. We had young kids and thought, wow, that's really, really good. And we kept getting turned down for the financing of the house. And so I got to praying about it, and I told my wife, I said, you know what? I think that the hand of God might be in this. I think that we might need to stop looking for a house that has a swimming pool. And believe me, one of my kids is like at that stage in their life, loved to be in the water. I mean, just absolutely loved to be in the water. I said, I think God may be shutting this door because it's not in our best interest. I don't know whether it would be a kid may have an accident or drown or whatever. I'm not saying that anybody who's got a pool, that's a risk that they're going to run. I just sense that for us, that God was saying, look, that's not a desire that I am planting in your heart. What this scripture says is that God will place desires in our heart, that as we're longing for those things, it will not be for selfish reasons. It will not be for pretentious reasons or superficial reasons, but it will be for the glory of God. And when we begin to long for things that are going to build the kingdom of God and make a difference in people's lives, God's going to not only give us the desire, but He's going to bring the fulfillment of that desire. So delight yourself also in the Lord. If you want God to be in charge of your desires, then you've got to start delighting yourself in Him. Whatever you find your delight in is going to be the source of your desires. So what is it that you are going to delight in? Look, I like to play golf. And if I delighted myself in playing golf nonstop, guess what I would desire? I would desire different clubs. I would desire different golf bags. I would desire certain other golf equipment, training things or lesson things. Lesson things probably wouldn't hurt me from time to time. But I would begin to long after the things that I find the delight in. And what God is saying is, I want to be the source of your delight. And when you delight yourself in me, when you delight yourself in worshiping me and spending time in my presence and doing my will, all of a sudden you are going to find that the things that you hunger and thirst for and desire and long for are not the things this world has to offer. They are only things that God can give to you. And when you delight yourself in the Lord and he gives you that desire, he's setting you up for success because he's going to give you that fulfillment, because it's not about me and it's not about you. It's about the kingdom. So trust him. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell on the land. And listen to this. Feed on his faithfulness. Feed on his faithfulness. There's a verse that says, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. And I was pondering that verse. That's from the New International Version. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. And it happens on two different occasions. And I was preparing, I was studying that passage, and I realized that my faithfulness or lack thereof will affect my perception of how God manifests himself. If I'm an unfaithful person, then I'm going to see God as unfaithful. But if I'm a faithful person, I'm going to see that God is faithful. You know, I don't know if you experienced this, but I hardly ever paid attention to women who were expecting babies until all of a sudden my wife was expecting our son. And then I saw pregnant people everywhere. I didn't ever really notice Ford Tempos until I owned a Ford Tempo. And then I saw Ford Tempos everywhere. And that's happened with a number of different things in my life, where until it became a reality in my life, I never really saw those things before. They just were in the mass of information that I came across every other day, and it never registered until it resonated with something inside of me. And so I want to challenge you today, and that is, if you would like to see the faithfulness of God to a greater degree in your life than you've ever seen it before, then be faithful. Be faithful. Isn't that what we are all longing to hear? What is it that God says? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my rest. And so... The steward who was entrusted with several talents and produced that an equal number of talents, he heard, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know how the person who had no return, he just took what he had been given and he buried in the ground? He said of his master, I knew that you were a hard taskmaster and you reap where you haven't sown. And he saw a bunch of things in the master that the other people didn't see. And so he was not faithful with what had been entrusted to him. And he saw the same person that other people saw in an entirely different way. I want to see the greater faithfulness of God. And so I want to, I mean, it literally says that I, feed on his faithfulness. You know, there's an old thing that says you are what you eat. I think it was a little over a week ago. I was at the bank, and they were talking about Mexican food, and I just chimed in on the conversation, and I said, if they ever do a DNA test on me, they may conclude that I had a Mexican food addiction. I just absolutely love Mexican spices and Mexican food. It makes my mouth happy. And so I eat it a lot. It hasn't helped my speaking Spanish much, but it has made me the man that I am today. Now, I don't get to eat that all of the time because I wouldn't be able to fit into my clothes. But I will tell you this. I can feed on the faithfulness of God. I can never get too much of the faithfulness of God. I want to encourage you today. Trust in the Lord. Do the right things. Do the good things. Dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, it is those longings and desires of your heart. The word desire and the word lust are very similar. Lust has a negative connotation. Desire has a positive connotation. But it is those two things that are going to drive you. You are either going to be driven to things that are going to undermine your walk of faith, undermine your spiritual health, or you're going to delight and desire the things that are going to build you up. You are going to be what you feed on. Feed on the faithfulness of God. And so I want to encourage you today, delight yourself in God. He will change the desires of your heart. So you could pile a whole stash of illegal drugs in front of me, and it would have no effect on me because I've got no desire for those things. If you really want to see a change in your personal life, change what you delight in, and you will find that your desires will change as a result of that. Father, I want to thank you today that we're not ashamed of you. We're not ashamed of your word. We're not ashamed of the transformation that you bring about. God, I pray today that we would learn to trust you, that we would do what you require us to do, Lord, that we would walk in obedience and faithfulness. God, that we would feed on your faithfulness. And God, I pray today that every person listening would delight themselves in you, that we would be thrilled to be your kids. And Lord, you would give us desires, Lord, that are pleasing and acceptable in your sight, and that you would fulfill those desires in Jesus' name. Hey, we'll see you tomorrow right here on 91.5 FM, WMIE. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.